So, good morning. I hope nobody is lazy today. We're holding on to Lamed Zayin. We're going to start at the bottom. Actually, look at this. It is at the bottom. I thought we were at the top. We're not. Lamed Vav Lamed Beis, the last line. So, actually, we had a machlokas yesterday about whether Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Beis Amru Davar Apa. We know that Rabbi Yehuda said in our Mishnah that a woman who was a Shvuya is B'Kedushata. She retains her Kedusha. Rabbi Yochanan said that means that she retains her Kedusha entirely vis-a-vis all issues. She's allowed to marry the Kuhuna and so on. In which case, he holds the same thing as, really as Rabbi Beis said, that she's allowed to eat Truma. Whereas, that was his approach. And the Gemara had another approach also, which is maybe there's a different issue over here. Maybe it's a matter of Shlo Yechotei Niska or some other issue. We're only talking maybe about Truma Drabon and Olib Rebos. Not so posh. That was Rabba's approach. But it turned out that according to Rabbi Yochanan, we can assume that a Shvuya, there is no chashad that she was Nivelet. Asks the Gemara, Ramile, Rav Papa, Bar Shmuel, Rav Yosef, is that true? Now, there's only a question, only by Rav Yochanan, of course. Is that true? V'sava Rav Yehuda b'kedushata kaima? Does Rav Yehuda indeed hold that a Shvuya is considered to be untouched? V'atanya ha-giyoret shinit gaira l'ra'ata dam. Here we have an interesting question. A woman becomes a giyoret, and then the day that she's mitgayeret, she becomes a nida. Now, normally we have a gezeira d'rabbana that dam nidot is mitama lemafreya, because we have to be afraid that actually there was some earlier bleeding, that it just wasn't enough blood to make its way out of the body, and so we didn't notice it, so therefore we would be mitami her earlier. So if she touched truma styris, we would be makbid on 24 hours before, or the last time that she made a bedika. Now here we got a funny situation, because 24 hours before she wasn't Jewish, and therefore her dam wouldn't have been metame. So we certainly can't be metame 24 hours before. I mean, that's absurd. So therefore, because we can't be mekayim that takana, says Rabbi Yehuda, so forget it. I mean, there's no way to say that we're going to go backwards 24 hours up to the point that she was nidgaya. There's not such gezeira. So either we can apply the takanator, we can't apply the takanator. If we can't apply the takanator, then she becomes one of the women who is daya sha'ata, which means that she only is metame from that point on. We have other women like that. She comes in. We only have two categories. Either you're a daya sha'ata or you're a metame lamafreya. If you can't be a metame lamafreya, you fit into the set of daya sha'atas. We don't have a woman that's half and half up till a certain point. So that's the svar of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi over, Arei Kukol Hanashim. Rabbi Yossi says, no, she's mitamami 8 li 8, 24 hours, meaning up until the point at which she was mitgayeret, umipkida lepkida, or whichever comes a little later, from the point at which she last looked at her bedika to see whether she was re'adam. And then there's another issue. By the way, that's how Rashi learns it. There is another approach in which it's not talking about she became a nida on the same day that she was a giyoret, but rather that there's a halacha that the giyoret only kicks in her dine nida is the first time that she's roya dam. It's a very strange kind of halacha. The first time that she's roya dam is a Jew, so she's like a child who was roya dam the first time. But I mean, the Rashi's chat is very, very mikubal, and we'll learn it that way. So the other question, and this is not really important to us, but what is questionable to us, is that it says, Shichalam din shlosha chodeshim div Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says that she also has to wait before she gets married 3 months, because she may well be pregnant. Now, how the heck could she be pregnant? Didn't he say that she doesn't get touched? I mean, if she's a shvuya. So where'd pregnancy come from? Rabbi Yossi says, well, you don't have to worry about that. And therefore, materially, she can get married right away. You don't need 3 months of hafkana to know whether a child came from her goyish state or from her Jewish state. Omar Lay. So, what kind of kasha is that? Said Rabbi Yosef to Rabbi Papa. That's a kasha. What is it? You're asking from the case of Giyoret on a case of Shvuya. Where did Rabbi Yehuda ever say that a goya doesn't engage in free sex? Who ever heard of such a thing? He said a shvuya doesn't. Obviously, giyoret lo mintera nafsha. Before she became a giyoret, I mean, why should she be careful? And Shvuya is Mitra Nafsham, and she's careful not to get pregnant. Oh, that's your answer. Fine. Thank you. I'll bring you additional data. So fine. Rami Shvuya Shvuya. You think that's the point? So then let's now contrast another case where Rabbi Yehuda talks about a Shvuya. The Tanya had Yoret Bahashvuya Bahashivcha. Shinivdu Vishnigayru Vishnishtachru Yeterot Abnot Shalosh Shanim Vyomacha. Now, how you can get out of this? It says a Shvuya has to wait 3 months before she's able to get married after being under the control of this goyim. So obviously she can't watch herself. And Rabbi Yossi matir le'aretz v'nasei miyad. Here too, Rabbi Yossi is matir. Ooh, that sort of put Rabbi Yossi in his place. Ishtik, that shut him up. So he said, okay, I give up. Maybe you've got a child. I conceive defeat. I'm like, sure, I got a child. You ready now? The case over there is talking about that we know for a fact that she actually could have gotten pregnant. So therefore we have to be careful. But Rabbi Yehuda, in a case where she was only a shvuya, we don't have any testimony to her actually being nivelet, so then there'd be no problem. Oh, I said, Rabbi Yehuda, how could that be the child? So Yochi, my time with Rabbi Yossi. How could Rabbi Yossi argue and say that she doesn't have to wait 3 months? You say, for sure you know that she had intercourse, so why do you know for sure she's not pregnant? I mean, why doesn't she have to wait? Aha, for that, Omar Rabba, Kasavra, now this is Tosis points out, it's a little bit strange, because Rabba is actually on the other side of this. I mean, he's trying to show Rabbi Yochanan to be wrong. And this is all against Rabbi Yochanan. Rabba himself is the one who said Rabbi Yehuda never meant to say that she's not nivelet. He just meant to say Shiloye Chotei Niskar, some other issue, right? But again, this could be Rabba explaining things that leave it to Rabbi Yochanan. So says Rabba, Kasavra, Rabbi Yossi. This is Rabbi Yossi Shita, that an Isha Mizana Mishameshet Bemok Shelotitaber. A woman doesn't just engage in intercourse. If she's got any brains, then she's going to use contraceptives, so she won't get pregnant. So what do we have to worry about her getting pregnant for? I mean, that explains the case of a Gioret. A Gioret has in advance some awareness that she's planning on becoming Jewish, so she knows that, you know, among the Jews it's not acceptable, this kind of thing. She doesn't want to be pregnant. Who's the father? I don't know. I mean, it's not appropriate. As a Goya, nobody cares. I mean, so there's actually a machlokas v'shamim, but we're saying nobody cares. Rashi learns that actually in the end of the sugya, it's going to come out that any woman, even if she is non-Jewish, would protect herself against pregnancy. But Tosfos understands the whole sugya to be assuming that unless there's a reason for her not to want to be pregnant, she doesn't care. There's no stigma attached to not being married and being pregnant. The only case where she would want not to be pregnant is if she was raped, because there's stigma attached to that. But other than that, there'd be no problem. Okay, but that's just different ways to be medayik here in the sugya. But initially, what we're saying is, look, if the woman is aware that she's going to become Jewish and she doesn't want to be pregnant, so then she will use contraceptives. So that's daita liyure, fine. She's mintra naf. She could say the same thing about a shvuya. Shvuya lo yada echem amtula. I mean, Ishvuya doesn't know what's going to end up with her. She may end up basically, being in a Jewish area. And even if she's not herself isn't Jewish, she's going to be afraid maybe she's going to be bought by a Jew or whatever. So she wants to be clear that she's not pregnant. She'll also use contraceptives. Shivcha, you could say, well, how does a Shivcha know? She hears basically mutterings about maybe we should free her. And if they free her, so then she'll be a real Jewish woman, then it's inappropriate for her to be pregnant if she's not married. So, okay, but what would you do about a case of Yotzah B'Shein V'Ayin? How about a Shivcha who is suddenly freed up because she gets hit and loses a tooth or something? So then the next day she finds herself to be a regular Jewish woman. Is Rabbi Yossi saying, it's okay, you don't have to worry that she's pregnant? Why not? What stigma would be attached to her being pregnant? She didn't know she was going to be Jewish. What would you say about a case like that? And Michael Amemar. V'chitem, and maybe you'll say, kol memela lo amar Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi indeed agrees that in cases where, whoops, she might have gotten pregnant, that was that there wasn't any planning, memela means no planning. So no planning, and Achinami, Rabbi Yossi is concerned that she might have gotten pregnant. Well, then what do you do with the case of the Anusa and the Mefuta? I mean, some don't like the Rashi doesn't have the years of Mefuta, apparently. Mefuta obviously can plan. I mean, she's seduced. There's no reason why she can't plan out to have contraceptives. But an Anusa, I mean, she's raped. Well, I mean, well, what's he going to say over there? I mean, that's certainly Mamela. She's not planning on getting raped. And nonetheless, Rabbi Yossi, even in that case, Vitanya, that even a victim of rape is not a problem to require 3 months of afkhana to see if she got pregnant. She's definitely not pregnant, says Rabbi Yossi, or at least definitely enough not pregnant that you don't have to worry about the afkhana. That's weird. What's the svara over there? I mean, certainly not going to be able to say I always am on the pill. I mean, why would we not think that she's pregnant? Says the Gemara, El Amar Rabbi, you're right. The issue over here is the contraceptives. The issue over here is that Kesover of Yossi, Isha Mizanam Mitapechet Kedor Shalot Tetaber. Point over here is not that she's always prepared with contraceptives. The point is that if immediately after intercourse she takes precautions to make sure that she gets rid of the semen, so then she's going to sufficiently insure herself against pregnancy, so she'll turn over and she'll make sure that she doesn't have to be concerned that she's going to be exposed to sperm. Whereas, that's his shita. The idach, whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds, it's not a very good method. We'd be afraid that nonetheless she got pregnant and wasn't able really to do a complete job of making sure that she wouldn't get pregnant. Okay, so we don't have a raya at this point about whether Rabbi Yehuda's across the board. He's saying that she's definitely didn't suffer any contact by her shovim, or whether he was just saying that in the case of the legabe paying a knas, where it would be a nice reward for a rapist, that since he chose a victim the second time, who was already a shvuyah, so now he doesn't have to pay. And over there, Rabbi Yehuda says she's big dushatap. Maybe not across the board. So we don't have a right. Moving on, the next piece of the Mishnah pulls us back into the sugya that came at the beginning of the parak before the Mishnah. And that brings us back to the issue of Kamlei B'Derabimine. And here, for the first time, we found in the Mishnah a source for Kamlei B'Derabimine. And the Mishnah says, in the case where he raped his daughter, we're over there, there's a fee of a misa, there would be kolam et chayev v'nafsho, enu mishalim momon, shenemar im lo yason anor shiyanesh, mashpa, that if there is an ason in a fee of misa, then there's no anesh. Asks the Gemara, but is that really the source? V'homi hocha nafka? And this is interesting, because now there's some issues that we thought we finally got through that whole sugya, but it turns out there's issues we didn't really think about. A lot of other psukim we didn't think about, a lot of what appears to be redundancy in the limudim that we didn't work out quite. So let's take a look now that we have the Mishnah. We saved this for the Mishnah, because the Mishnah is a first place where we find a reliable definition of the source for Kamlei B'Derabimine. But, I mean, we know, we've already looked into other sources for that idea. One of them was the halakha of Kedei Rishato, which was the makor of the halakha, that there's no malchus v'teshlumin, is the way we learned it. B'chidei Rishato, there's din of Kedei Risha achat atam echayvo, viatam echayvo, mishum shtei Risha ayot. A person is not going to have to be both loke u'mishale. So why wouldn't Risha achat also cover the Misa? So didn't we learn it? Ad asks the Gemara of Ami, Och nafka, is this really the only source, imason? Me'atam nafka. I mean, what about the overall halacha, which isn't limited to mita? Kidei rishato mishum risha achat atam echayvo, v'yatam echayvo mishum shtei risha ayot? Well, says the Gemara, I mean, obviously, I mean, we always knew about that, but that case was talking about malchus. That's b'chidei rishato is arba in yakenu. That's the whole halacha of im bina kot harasha. What does that have to do with mita? So we have chada b'mita u'mamon, v'chada b'malkot u'mamon. So the pasuk of Ason, im lo yason anor shiyanesh, it's talking about a chiyuv of mita and tashlumim, and it tells us Kamlei B'Derabimine. The other is talking about malkut u'mamon, and that's talking about the halacha of ein lokinu mishamim. B'tzricha, we need both of those halachot separately, which means we need both the pasuk of Kidei Rishato and the pasuk Im Lo Yasa. Why? Because Yashmino Mita Umamon. Suppose we were only told the halacha that Im Lo Yasa Anoshi Anesh, which tells us that if there's a chiyav mita, there's no chiyav of payment. I understand that, but that's Mishum Teika Ibud Nishama. That's because this guy is basically going to be killed. I mean, I understand, that's sort of a big deal. A guy's losing his life. I mean, we have to also take his money. Avon malkot mamon. We're talking about being locum. Over there, it's not the end of the world, so we'll get lashes and pay money. Is that so bad? Whereas leka ibud neshama, I would say maybe over there we don't say kodle bit rabim. The fact that he's going to get two punishments is not the issue, is it? It's just that the loss of life is so overwhelming that it seems crazy to kill him and take his money. So maybe over there, if it would only be Malkut Umamon, I would say, no, therefore I need a Pasuk of Bichdei Rishato. Now suppose you tell me Bichdei Rishato, you say, so then if even Malkut Umamon, we're not going to let him get two punishments, certainly if he's going to lose his life, no, not true. Because Iyashvino Malkut Umamon, remember there's all the other way of looking at it. When it comes to Malkut, I mean by definition, the reason it's Malkut and not Mita, is because he didn't do anything so terrible. So I say, okay, if he didn't do anything so terrible, and he wasn't chayav mita, he was only chayav mo. So over there, the Torah says, look, I mean, if we're going to lash the guy, he doesn't have to also pay. But if he's a thorough Russia, that he's so bad that he's chayav mita, let's take his money too. What the heck? I mean, so maybe over there we wouldn't say, come look at a rabbi, mina. And in that case, I would say, mita mamon, where obviously if he's chayav mita, he must have done something terrible. So chomer is surah. So, he's a knave, and because of that, Emalo, we shouldn't now let him off of Tashlumin. Therefore, Tzrikai need not two separate Tzukim, one of which tells me the Din of Malkuta Mamon, which is the Din of Kidei Rishato, and the other which tells us Mitao Mamon, which is the Pasuk of Im Lo Yasan. Now, what about according to Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Meir, remember, was the one who said, Lo Hashema may be only day Malkot, may be only day Tashlumin, which we learn according to Rabbi Meir. The Omar, Loki or Mishalim. You get both Malkus and Tashlumin. And that was also actually Reish Lakish's approach to our Mishnah. That it's talking about going like Rabbi Meir, and that's why you pay the Knas, because who cares if you also have to get Malkus because your victim was your own sister? That's irrelevant. So why do I need to sit him according to Rabbi Meir? I mean, I don't even know that there's a halacha of Ein Loki or Mishalim. So what was the Bichdei Rishato referring to? Lomali. According to Rabbi Meir, you see, one is talking about mita umamon, but how do you know mita umalkut you would be part of? So im lo yason, what's that referring to? Im lo yason anoshi anesh is referring to paying the nev ladot, that's money. Okay, so I understand that when it comes to a monetary chiyuv, if the person is chayav mita, we don't give him monetary chiyuv. But how about if in conjunction with the chiyav of mitah, there was also a lav that he was chayav on malchus. Would he be potter from the malchus as well? How do you know that? For then I need to have another posik, which is bichdei rishato, and don't tell me that it's obvious, because it isn't. Vitzricha. I need both of those, because yeshmu inan mitah o mamon. Bishun dechor begufe, bechor bemamoni. Let's say that I would know him, lo yason and oshi anesh. I would say, okay, Bukta. Those are basically two different worlds, you know? There's something in his body, he's going to lose his life, something in his payment. I mean, we're not going to do two completely different. We're concentrating on putting a guy in death row. We're not going to be sitting here thinking about his bank accounts. It's a different world. But when you're talking about mita umalkut, so over there, basically, we're going to be taking his life. Well, why not make him suffer while we take his life? I mean, it's both in his body anyway. Why not give him malchus and then kill him? What the heck? I mean, it's both dinim in his body. So, I mean, we're already in that set of onashim. So, mitao malchut, over there, idi begufe. Both are punishments in his body. So, like, it's a long death, you know? Ema mita arichtahi. It's like a long death that starts with being lashed and then goes on to having his head cut off. So, maybe Navi, let's do both of them. The iashvin, on the other hand, let's say we would know that your potter, who in the case of mitao malchut, I would say, that's the whole point. I mean, certainly taking away his entire body should subsume paining his body, right? I mean, so losing his life. I mean, includes the ultimate loss of his bodily function. So what's the point of giving him Malchus as well? But what does the fact of taking his life have to do with the penalties to his bank account? So maybe over there, Mita u'Mamon, where one is Begufa, one is Bebamona, so maybe one has nothing to do with the other. I mean, one is a criminal court, one is civil court, maybe even. Amen Avivei, so maybe over there, we should indeed do both. Therefore, Tzricha, even according to Rabbi Meir, I need both Sukkim. Because it's true that one is talking about Malchus. It's not talking about Malchus or Mammon. It's talking about Malchus or Misa. Well, not really, because Knas is a restitution, so it couldn't really say. That's why I said even. But it doesn't mean that that's really the explanation. Okay, so now you've explained those two psukim. There's an awful lot of other psukim you never talked about. Now, how about lo tikhu kofer lenefesh rotzeach? That sounds to be saying, I mean, because there was a din of payment, where we call the kofer. What we think it means is lo tikhu kofer lenefesh rotzeach means don't also take monetary money from a guy who murdered and is going to be killed. So why do we need that? No, that's a whole different. You're misunderstanding the pasuk. That saying, Yom Rachmana, lo tishko mamona mine v'tiftere miktola. The point over there is not to take kofar to potter him from Misa. Not to take kofar in addition to Misa. I mean, we find such a concept by somebody who essentially is chayav Misa, bala shor yumat. And then we said, v'im kofar yushata lav, so you can buy his way out of it. You might think that was pretty cool. You might think that, not cool, smooth, very smooth. You might think that that's true, therefore, about any chayachiyev of a rotzeach, not only shoro, therefore comes along the third to say, no, a nefesh rotzeach, there's no kofar. That's not the same thing as a shora mua. All right, how about the case of lo tikhu kofar lanus el ir miklato? I mean, doesn't that say, don't also give him golot and mama? No, that's not what it means. It means lo tishko mamona minevativ kremin agalut is what it means. Same thing. Don't accept money in lieu of the chiyav of being sent to the Eir Miklat. Vitrekroi lomali. So why do I need two psukim to tell me that? What do you mean? Because one is b'shogim, one is b'mezid. I mean, yeah, anybody understands those are two different issues. With tzricha, he actually mean b'mezid. If Torah would have said you can't buy your way out of death row, well, obviously that's b'shogim the chomeri suri. I mean, that's, you know, we're not going to let a guy who's chayav misa buy his way out. But shogeg, we're over there. Obviously, it's not as chomer. Lo chomer is surah. So over there, maybe the Torah said, okay, look, you know, we want the guy to have a kapara. Either go to galut or let him pay and make it up to the family and give out money to the poor. I don't know, whatever. And that way he's potter. And on the other hand, I would say, Ashman is shogeg. I'd say, okay, in the case of shogeg, you can't buy your way out because why let it buy his way out? I defined what needs to be done for him. It's not such a terrible thing to go to galut. We have to give him an option to buy his way out, so live in galut for a while. No? But, I mean, mezid, you know, can't we save a Jewish soul? We're going to kill the guy. I mean, let's give him an out. Give him some kind of option. We'll be matzo nefesh echad miyisrael. So in that case, ike ibud neshama, emalo, maybe over there, indeed, we should say, he should have the option. For tzrich, we need both of these tzukim to tell me there's no way to buy your way out, not of an onesh of galut, and not of an onesh of mitat beit din. What are you going to do about this pasuk? Ula oretz lo yechupar l'dam asher shufach ba ki im bedam shofcha. What is that telling you? Is that saying the same thing? The land will not find a kapara unless we spill the blood of the one who did the ritzicha. I mean, that means and not money. There's no way that you can make up for it. We're going to always kill the murderer. So then why do I need the other person to tell me the lo tikhu kofer? Now we got two psukim saying the same thing? No, that's a special case. That case was talking about an egla rufa, right? So it says over there, you don't know who the murderer is. You measure up until the nearest city, and that city takes responsibility for the death of someone that's within their area. So I might have thought, that's like what the Braita says, Minayin, I might have thought, Imnitar Pa'egla, Yachatach Nimtzahore. Suppose we do the whole thing with the Egla Rufa, and then we find the murderer. So, I mean, you might think that over there, since we already brought the kapara on him with the egla rufa, maybe at that point, we're not going to kill him. I mean, ayin she'in potrinoto, how do we know that one has nothing to do with the other? The din of the egla rufa, that's for the responsibility of the city and so on, but it doesn't potter, it doesn't clear away the blood debt. The blood debt, so that it's actually mechaper al haaretz, so to speak. So how do we know that we will not patur ratzeach? Sheneemar v'la aretz lo yechupar l'dama sheshufach ba ki im edam shofcho. Therefore, it needs to tell me, despite the fact that you already brought the kapora that the Torah gave for this event, don't confuse that kapora with a change in the status of the murderer. That's not affected. Oh yeah? So then, why do I need the pasuk? V'atat v'er dama naki mikirbecha. Well, that's a continuation there. I mean, what's the idea of Tiva'er Adam? You are Mechuyev to be Mevaer Adam Naki Mikirbecha. And that's done whether or not there's Arifa. So I already know that you're always Mechuyev to be Mevaer Adam Naki Asher Bekirbecha. You can't get away from that by allowing the guy to say, well, you already brought the Egla Rufa. What do we need anything else for? So then why do I need the other pasuk? Well, it's Lo Yechupar. Ah! That's something else. That's something else. It's another braita which says, we know that there are places where the Torah says that you're supposed to stomp, kill the guy. I mean, doesn't say precisely. I mean, maybe you should slice off his neck. So, I mean, it does say to be oreif the egla rufa, so maybe do the same thing to the murderer. I mean, how do you know? Maybe it means you should stab him in the heart. Maybe it means you should put him up against the wall and shoot him. That seems to be very dramatic. A lot of people like that. I mean, who's to say that you're supposed to now do the cutting off of a head? Talmud lomar atativa er hadam hanakimi kirbecha. And this now, in the context of the egla rufa, so ukshu koshu chedamim egla rufa, by comparing the Vayera Adam Naki to what you just did to the Egla, you're telling me that I got to get the guy in the neck. So I can't stab him in the heart. So you'll say, but the Egla Rufa, I take a butcher knife and I cut off its head from the back. Maybe that's what we should use, a guillotine. So that there's a makor in the Torah for the French. That's impossible. It's impossible. So Mala Alam Bekufitz Bimul Oref, Afkan Bekufitz Bimul Oref. Couldn't be. Omar of Nachman, Omar Rabba Baravua, the French know nothing of love. That's the problem. Omar Krovi, Ahaftal Areacha Kamocha. It's not only life that's about love. Death is about love. Brolo Mitaya Fa. If you're going to kill a guy, at least choose a nice way to kill him. I mean, cutting off his neck with a butcher knife. Eh. Only the French could come up with something like that. And therefore, since you're Mechuyev to love a person under all circumstances, choose an easy and more pleasant way to die.
A new way to understand tough love.
How do you get him?
You cut his simoni. It's basically an act of shechita. Basic? No, it doesn't have to be shechita. There's very few people that actually end up eating the guy. Okay, so now you're telling me, boy, this is really getting complicated. So we have a positive tell me a pturah moment with tashlumin, misa with tashlumin, misa with malchus. Then we need another person to tell me a ratzeach b'mezid can't buy his way out, or ratzeach b'shogeg can't buy his way out. Somebody that had an egla rufa brought for what he did can't get out of it. Another person to tell me that the chiyav of sayef is meant to be min hatzavar, because even if I would say brolo mita yafa, I mean, I might still think, well, you know, up against the wall, that's a mitah yafa, you know. 20 bullets, I mean, that's great. So that is, we need the whole thing. As Tosus points out, we need both the egla rufa min hatzavar, and then the brolo mitah yafa. But how about this one? You didn't explain this one. Kol cherem asher yechoram min ha'adam lo yipadeh. Now, I assume that means, like, zoveach lelohim yechoram. What does that mean? Pow, pow. If it means this guy's finito. Okay, so here it says, kol cherem, if a person's in a state of being chayav misa, lo yipadeh, he's not allowed to buy his way out. Again? This is the idea. The third time we're being told the same thing, how about that? If that's what Yehoram means, then it does. It has everything to do with it. Kamashmalan, mi bayle, that's the Gemara answer. Mi bayle le kidetanya. Minayin le yotzei le harek. A guy is being walked to his execution. And somebody says, V'yomar achad, erko alai, I want to give his value, but not his value. Value, literal value, market value is called damim, not erek.
Which he doesn't have right now, or has very little, right?
He has nothing of. Nobody is going to buy him. He's got zero value, zero market value.
Damim.
But erech, which is defined in the Torah according to his age and his sex, why wouldn't he have that? I mean, he's still alive and kicking. So why wouldn't he be able to have an erech? Minayin leyotzei leoreg, leoreg, v'yamar echad erko alay minayin shlo amar klum. How do we know there is no erech either? Not only no damim. Sheneema kol cherem asher yechoram in ha'adam lo yifadeh. There is no pidyon. Two, hegdish, that is to be given for a person who's on his way to execution. Yocholav kodem shenigmar dino, okay? You might think that this is true even before the pronouncement of judgment, where it's clear he's going to be killed, but we haven't put him into the psak yet of your dead duck. Talmud loma min ha'adam, velo kol ha'adam. So in other words, it's true that damim is not necessarily related to erech. It's not because he doesn't have damim that he doesn't have erech. It's because the Torah says that as a mumat, as a cherem, a yochoram, lo yipadeh. But that doesn't mean that if he's pre that stage mamish, that he won't have an erech. There he does have an erech. And how about according to Rabbi Hanani ben Akavya, who disagrees with this whole drasha that you're saying, and he holds that such a person who is going to his execution is Nera. And that's because Damav Kitsuvim, it has nothing to do with his value in the market, and as long as he's still alive, why wouldn't he be Nera? He obviously doesn't use Kol Cherem Asher Yechoram Lo Yifadeh for that. What does he use it for? I Kol Cherem Ayavidle. What does he do with the Pusik of Kol Cherem? That's something else. That's the Kedet Tanya Rabbi Yishmael Ben Asher Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broka Omer. V'shematzinu l'mumatim bidei shamayim shenotnim mamonu mitkaper lehem. We know that the gamba alav yumat, which means that the person who owns the shore shall die, bidei shamayim. And then it says, im kofri yushat alav. So they give mono, and they get a kapora. You might think, there yochal af bidei adam ken, somebody who's chayav nisa bidei adam should also give mono, and get a kapora. Tamar lo makoch, chayrim in adam lo yipadeh. Now, you might think that that's only Amy Elam mitot chamurot shalon nitna shigigatan lekapara. Mitot kalot shenitna shigigatan lekapara minayim. Remember that there are different types of chiyav misa. Vitamin B12. Exercise.
Definitely.
Proper nourishment.
Exercise room just
closing down.
I know, but there's always the David Citadel.
Yeah.
And there's always me.
Oh.
And we can bring you back. Bring you back up.
Yeah. Renovation.
It's a little hard from 6,000 miles away.
Anyway.
All right, let's see the old Richie Le Capitan. Here we go. That's it. he had 10 seconds left in him. We used it all up.
I was asleep, very focused on him.
Yep.
Well, me, not that doesn't mean the same for me. But
I took the heat exactly.
So, now of course we're going to ask, well, what about all the other psikim? We already learned to see this. But this is a new piece. We never saw a distinction between types of mitot. There are mitot in which the Torah says a chiyuv of kari. In addition, so you have, right, let's say, Avodah Zarah. So it also says V'nichrat, besides the chiyuv that Beis Din has to kill the guy. Now, all of those places where it says V'nichrat, V'nichrat too, all of those places are, by definition, going to be able to bring a korban chatat in the case of a shoged. And then they'll get a kapara. Or, let's say, murder. The guy murders b'shoged, he also, there's certain cases in which he'll be chayav galut, which means that he gets a kapara. Now, in places where the Torah itself puts in place a way to get a kapara. So maybe it allows you the kapara even where the Beit Din is killing you, and your kapara there would be money. Hakesev yanet hakol. Kamash malan kol That won't be answered by Kesser. And what is that? Tamud Lomar Kol Cherem. Even those types of Charamim, which do have an option, at least Bishogeg for Kapora through Korban or through Galut. Wait, I thought we learned that from Lotiklu Kofa. Boy, oh boy, now we need it again. Another drasha. Veloma Melam Lotiklu Kofa Shemapine. Didn't we learn before? Lotiklu Kofa, Lotishko Mamona Mitiftere. Don't take money from him and get him out. So, look, I admit that you've added one level here. I mean, that's the level of the, you know, the difference between types of Tia Misa. But I don't know, what do I need? Kol Cherem Lamele. I don't need two Limudim over here. I got that other pasuk to tell me. There's a basic halacha of not taking kofar. You want to add a new halacha, even for those places where the Torah allows some option for kapora, but I don't need another two psukim. You're telling me Cherem and Kol Cherem. Now, what do I need that for? Lamele. Amar Rami Bar Chama, I still need it. Yisrael. Sao kadai da mamina. Hanemin li hecha da hargo derek aliyah. Shalom nitnish li gadol kapara. Now, there's a difference, you see. Because, look, you've got a mazid in which the whole set of mazid of a rotseach does not have a kapara, right? But it has an option for kapara had it been done b'shogeg. But there's also cases which don't have an option of kapara in the particular case of shogeg, but nonetheless the standard of chiyav misa for rotseach has in it, in that set of misa for ritzicha, a type of ritzicha which would have a kapara. And what is that? And at last we get back to that very strange incantation, bein derech aliyah, bein derech yiridah, which we never really knew what that was referring to exactly, and suddenly we discover, oh, it's actually quite significant. As a matter of fact, it's so significant that tomorrow the Gemara is going to ask, why couldn't we just use the Tanna de Beit Hizkia that says, Bein Derech Aliyah V'Derech Yirida? But before we get to that,
today,
we need to think about the set of Ritzicha. Three levels. Ritzicha B'Mezid. No options. Ritzicha B'Shogeg Derech Yirida. Yapel alav. Option of Golas. Ritzicha derech aliyah b'shogeg. No. So then, if that's the case, there are types of ritzicha, mezid or shogeg, that fit into a set of b'nei kapara, and a subset of ritzicha b'nei kapara, and some that fit into a subset ritzicha lav b'nei kapara. Right? That's how Rashi understands it. Tosis makes it less complex by taking out the galut from the original case of Yeshlam Kapara, and he says it's only referring to Kapara with the Korban. And only now we're introducing the idea of the possibility of a Kapara with Golut. But according to Rashi, you need to separate out the set of Ritzicha, which is a Chiyav of Misa of a case where there are places that the Torah allows a Kapara, into two subsets. The type of action, which is Derech Yiridah, in which had it been done b'shogeg, it would have had a kapara, and then the type of action which is derech aliyah, which would not have had a kapara. But they're still both parts of a set of things which do have, overall, within them kapara for this particular chet of ritzicha. Okay, so therefore, I would have said, look, maybe there's two levels that we need to distinguish. So where does the Torah say, lo tikhu nefesh lekofer lenefesh rotzeach? You know what that is? That's talking about where the murderer, the mazit, killed him by giving him a strong uppercut, causing hemorrhage to the brain, which subsequently resulted in the death of the victim. But suppose he took a frying pan and put it down on his head, causing the same hemorrhage to the brain, resulting in the same death of the victim, although he hadn't died before. I must make that clear. We're not talking about the same victim. So in that case, had he done that for shogeg, he would have had an option of kapara. Now maybe in that case, even though he's doing it the mazid, but it's part of the subset of ritzicha that has kapara literally in this exact action. So maybe over there, since b'shogeg there would have been a kapara derech yiridah, and this is learned out from gezerat hakatuv, from the vayapel alav. Something falls on him, but not something goes up on him. So therefore, in this case, I would say maybe over there, there still is an option. So hargo derech yiridah, if he kills him by dropping something on his head, so enochinami, since b'shogeg would have been nitna lekapara, maybe in that case there's still an opening. Boy, oh boy, we're getting down to the nitty gritty of all the possible differences that might have allowed. Because remember, we are trying to be matzil the nefesh harotzeach in any possible way. It's part of our job to be matzil cases, capital cases, to find some way in which we have an excuse not to kill the guy.
Bleeding heart liberal.
But at least we don't sleep. It's the rednecks that always have the beer and wear themselves out. So therefore, we're looking for every possible option to distinguish between cases where the Torah says don't take ofer and where there might be an option to take ofer. So a ritzicha, which is of the type that had it been done b'shogeg, I would have been allowed to have maybe a kapora b'galut, maybe I could have a kapora b'momon when it's done b'mezid. Therefore, I also need yet the additional pasuk that distinguishes cherem and kocherem along with lo tikhu kofer l'nefesh rotzeach, because there's really three levels. There's the level of never being given an option of kapara. There's the level of being given an option of kapara if you only hadn't dropped the frying pan but had brought it up on his chin. And then there's the level of where you actually could have had a kapara had it been done in which it had been dropped. I meant the other way around. Kamashban, all three cases. And of course, Rava is bothered, as we'll see tomorrow, by the fact that the original Tana of Chizkiah told us that whole business. Bein derech yirida, bein derech aliyah, we had the whole thing, this comparison of makeh nefesh, makeh behema, which we very conveniently left out of today's discussion, and didn't bother explaining, and why do we need that additional pasuk? So that, we shall see, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow.